Sorry.
Wrong key.
America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Lord, we need your help. We need your help in hand. Without you, I know we can't stand. Lord, we need your word. Renew it in us day by day. With your helping hand, it's your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees you'll find me. Strength today. Lust of the flesh, eyes and pride of life, starting to sap my strength away. Tempted and tried, and sometimes led astray, like a sheep who's lost his way. Still it's your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees you'll find me. Your strength today. Lord, we need your help. We need your helping hand.
Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Thank you, Leah. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5, and next week we will pick up the, I don't know, we've got the Vacation Bible School advertisement up there now. I say, do we have the, there we go, Liberty for Living is where we're going. It said roar up there, so maybe that's what that's the theme of our Vacation Bible School. And I was getting ready to roar for you tonight there. As we look at Liberty for Living, and next Sunday, as I said, we'll get back to the book of Judges. We're going to look at four things from this chapter, not all of the verses, but liberty, and then the law, and loyalty, and love. All of these things as they pertain to our living in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the liberty that we have in Christ. And again, we thank you for the liberty we have here tonight to be able to come and worship according to the scriptures as you tell us to do, and to do that without fear of being invaded and arrested for our worship. Lord, we know that that can't be said in all countries, and it may come to where we will be at risk in doing this, but we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy now, that we can come and worship you. And Lord, we thank you especially that you have set us free from the sin that grips and holds us back and eventually would condemn us to hell, but you have freed us from that. And Lord, we are grateful for that in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And so as we look at this concept of liberty, two things we'll see. First is the provision of liberty. It says, wherewith Christ has made us free. And the freedom that we enjoy as believers is because Christ has done it for us. We think about our freedom as Americans, and we have freedom to worship as we're worshiping because people have sacrificed their lives for that. And so when we look at the spiritual aspect of freedom, we see that Christ has sacrificed his life so that we can have freedom from sin. But we see not only the provision of liberty, we see the previous life before liberty, it says, not be entangled again. Before we had this freedom in Christ, we were entangled in sin. And of course, this is a picture, and we won't take time to go over to Exodus 14, but we can see the Israelites, how they were entangled there in the nation and how God delivered them. And just as God delivered the Israelites from the previous life they had entangled in the land of Egypt, God has freed us and given us new life in Him. And He warns us about the dangers of going back to that previous life and being entangled again. That's later in this chapter. We'll probably not get into that this evening. But you think about the previous life of those who came to America first, the kind of life that they had in England, and whenever they were told that they had to worship a certain way. And so they came here for religious freedom. And God has given to us that wonderful thing of freedom. He has given us liberty from sin. The chains that held us back, He has taken those away. It says, wherewith Christ hath made us free. It doesn't say that He helped to make us free or we helped Him, but Christ has done it all. Salvation is of the Lord, and He delivers us from sin and sets us free. Then we come to verse 2. As we look at, next of all, the law. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. And so when we look at the law, if a person is looking to the law, it says Christ is no benefit. He will profit you nothing. And here Jesus came, and He paid the debt of sin for us. But it's possible that all that He did for salvation of the world won't benefit some people. It's not because there's any weakness in what He's done. It's simply because they refuse to accept the free gift of salvation. Before we can profit from a gift that someone gives us, if they give us a gift card or whatever, we can't benefit from that until we receive it. And so likewise, salvation and the liberty that Christ gives is not ours until we receive it. So those who don't receive it, what He's done for them, it doesn't profit them. It's not His fault. It's their fault for not receiving the gift. Not only does it make Christ of no benefit, continue reading in verse 3, it says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And a person who is trying to hold on to the law and be saved by the law, he's a debtor to do the whole law. And he has to abide in every part of the law. And we can't do that. Man doesn't have that ability to do that. James tells us in his epistle that if we have offended God in any one point of the law, then we're guilty of all of the law. And so we become indebted. And there's no way possible that we can keep the law and pay the debt that we owe. We need someone to pay that debt for us to set us free. Otherwise, we are just bound by the debt that we have. So many people get indebted and they're just bound in their debts and they're over their head and debts. But Christ has set us free, spiritually speaking, and we owe it all to Him because there's no way we could pay that debt. Moving down to verse 4 now, we see not only does the law make Christ of no benefit, it also makes one a debtor to the law. And verse 4 says the law makes one fall from grace. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And it's a shame that some people, denominations or churches, take phrases from the Bible and they look at it and they have a wrong doctrine. Because you look at that phrase, fallen from grace. Do you believe a person can fall from grace? Well, here it says people are fallen from grace. Do you believe people can lose their salvation? No. But I believe they can fall from grace. So what does it mean to fall from grace? Well, the verse kind of tells us, if we look at the entire verse and not just pull out a phrase there, who are the ones that fall from grace? It's those that are justified by the law. Whoever of you that are justified by the law, you're falling from grace. Now, who is justified by the law? No one. The Bible says that there are none that's justified by the law. So all those who are trusting in the law to justify them, they missed out on grace. They have fallen from grace because they're trying to be justified by the law. And aren't you glad we don't have to keep the law and do everything in the law to be saved? That God's grace is greater than all our sin. And so we have His grace. We've received His grace. And so it's not by the law, but it's by His grace that we are set free. One more thing the law does. It will entangle us if we try to live by it. But it makes a person exempt from righteousness. Verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And the only way a person can receive righteousness and have that hope, that guarantee is what the word hope means in Scripture, that certainty of being righteous, it's not going to happen by keeping the law. We can never do enough good deeds to be able to gain righteousness with God. So the hope of righteousness that we have, this verse says it comes by faith. The hope of righteousness by faith. Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not through the law. So we have the liberty in Christ because He set us free. It's His grace that has broken the chains that have bound us to sin and had destined us to hell. And so because of that, there is a loyalty here, beginning in verse 6. It says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And when we think of loyalty, we think of allegiance. We even have in our nation a pledge of allegiance there, where we have this loyalty to our country. Did you read in the news this week? There's a city in Minnesota, St. Louis Park, Minnesota. The city council of St. Louis Park has voted that they will no longer recite the Pledge of Allegiance before their city council meetings because it is offensive to some people there. And they want everybody to be, you know, included. Well, there's no loyalty there. There's no allegiance there. And our allegiance, our loyalty, of course, is to the Word of God. Now, we do have Pledge of Allegiance. We have loyalty to our country. If our country ever tells us and our government tells us that we have to disobey God's Word, then we have clear teachings from Scripture that we obey God rather than man. But we are thankful to be Americans as we sing. So let's look at loyalty. In verse 6, it says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, that is a reference to Jews and Gentiles, but faith which worketh by love. And loyalty, whenever things are done out of loyalty because of love, it's just a tremendous impact that that has. Now, there are some things we do out of obligation. Obligation will cause you to do your duty on the job. You have a job description, and you have an obligation to do those things. Well, there's in the Scripture, there are Christian job descriptions, for lack of a better term, where God says these are things you have to do. You know, and we can do them out of obligation or duty, but whenever we go the extra mile, as Jesus taught it, when we're doing these things, not just because there are our duty to do, but because there's a love for the one who set us free. Aren't you glad that God sees our motive? Well, maybe sometimes we're not glad if the motives are not good there. But here we have this loyalty that's motivated by love. And a loyalty that's motivated by love will do much more than a loyalty that's motivated by obligation. And so it's unmatched by love. But also, it's a loyalty that's unhindered by error. In verse 7, it says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" It's the truth that sets us free. And so we don't want to go away from the truth. Sometimes the truth is not liked. People don't want to hear the truth. But we need to give them the truth because indeed the truth is what sets a person free. And so obstacles should not hinder our loyalty to God, regardless of what those obstacles may be. Obstacles should not hinder our patriotism unless the obstacles, again, would be government telling us to disobey God's word. And so when we're going to have our loyalty to God, He's the one who has bought our liberty. He's paid for it. He's set us free. And so our loyalty is to Him, and our loyalty comes from hearts of love. Well, we'll see. Love is the last thing. Actually, 7 points to this message, but I'm only going to share 4 of them with you this evening. Didn't know how much time I would have, and so might let you out a little bit early. And so we're going to look at love, beginning in verse 13. Liberty is defined here. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And so when we think about love of country, we think about patriotism. And here, those who have love and have liberty in Christ, they're going to use that opportunity for an occasion to minister. And so here he's saying, from the negative aspect, he says, don't use your liberty for an occasion for the flesh there. And so rather than trying to see, well, what's wrong with that or what's wrong with this, you know, and trying to see how close we can live to sin without crossing over the line, then we should have liberty there. In 1 Corinthians 16:15, there's a phrase that says that they were addicted to ministry there. And so they had a love for doing what's right. And so the freedom we have in Christ is not freedom to do whatever we want. It's not to live however we want to live, but God has given us a freedom to do what's right. He's given us a freedom to serve willingly, and we can be loyal to Him because we love Him. And so we have freedom to do what God wants us to do there. One of our presidents, John F. Kennedy, said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." That's a totally opposite philosophy of the direction that his political party is going today, isn't it? Rather, they're looking what your country can do for you, given free college or whatever it may be, you know. But he said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that's an idea of serving, the loyalty there. And so this loyalty that we have for Christ comes out of a love. Not what can the church do for me. The church, not Sumter Bible Church specifically, but God's family. It's not what can they do for me, but what can I do to serve them? How can I show the loyalty that I have because of the love for Christ and serving others? I'm not looking for an occasion to the flesh, verse 13 says, but by love to serve one another. And God has given us liberty. We are free to serve. And that's what God wants us to do. Not only does love find service, it doesn't go around claiming its rights, but also it fulfills the law. Verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word or one saying, even in this, and here's the saying or the word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's fulfilled there. And so when we look at the teachings of Scripture, we know that the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. But we also know that that's not the only quality that God wants us to have. God says, come out from among them and be separate. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so whenever you're going to have this philosophy of love everyone, which we should, you can't throw out all the other commandments that God has. You have to find a way to blend those together. And so we must separate from evil. We must speak God's truth and love. We must be holy because He's holy. And so you can't throw out the other qualities that God tells us to have just to maintain the one. And it seems like it's a big idea with some preachers and Christian groups that love everyone and you put aside all the other commandments of Scripture. God has given us liberty to love. He's given us liberty to be separate. He's given us liberty to be holy. And the last thing that we see that love does, it fights. It fights internal destruction, as we see in verse 15. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Several of our forefathers have said if America ever is defeated, it will not be from the forces without, but it'll be from within. And we kind of see some of that coming to be in our nation. And the same thing is true spiritually. Even this morning when we saw Judas betraying the Lord, even though he wasn't saved, he was in the know. He was in the inside group there. He was in the body of the 12, but he wasn't in spirit with them there. And so our nation will have to be careful of those who seek to destroy it from within. And even within the church, we have to be careful there. As Paul gives the warning here, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And so when we have liberty in Christ, our liberty is not to bite each other or to devour each other, to destroy each other, but the liberty that we have, going back to verse 13, is to love one another and serve one another there. And so God wants us to have this love for Him, a loyalty to Him, because the liberty He's given us, a liberty to serve one another and not harm each other, but maintain the liberty that He's given us in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You indeed have set us free. And Father, we are free for all eternity, no matter what this world may do to us. Lord, many people have been put in prisons and jail and even executed for preaching the gospel. And so we thank You for the freedom that we have to preach it, and we thank You for the freedom that Christ gives to all of us who trust in Him. Lord, help us not to be entangled with the yoke of bondage from the previous life, and help us to make sure that we don't bring harm to the body of Christ, but we show our love and loyalty by serving one another to strengthen the body of Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.